Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
You and your friends just wanted a summer holiday you'd remember. Underage drinking, skinny dipping, some light grave robbing, normal teenage stuff. Maybe you'd get your first kiss. What you didn't count on was a dark secret that would bind the six of you together forever. A dark secret that would eventually lead to alcoholism, broken families, haunting dreams, possible precognition, starring roles on reality television, lives gone off the rails. It wasn't the farmer you ran over accidentally. It wasn't even the farmer you ran over on purpose, or the werewolf that bit Trish. It was the skinny dipping. You're still back there, in that moment, every time you close your eyes, the thrill, the fear, the nothing sound of underwear hitting the pier, and then all of you noticing Andy's genitals at the same time. Or rather, the instead of genitals where genitals should have been. You all look and see the gargle. This is The Gargle. Welcome to The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser. We bring you all of the news, none of your politics, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Vince Mancini. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight. And Matt Lieb.
Hey. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad that we're having this Matt Lieb, Alice Fraser extended universe crossover.
I know. Just keep going. Yeah, just nothing but Alice and Matt, you know, taking over the world one pod at a time.
Finger guns. But before we cut our fingers and swear forever to keep secret the things that we learn in today's headlines, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine for this week. The front cover this week is a photo of a red carpet posing for photographers. The headline reads, "With everyone on strike, the red carpet finally gets the spotlight to itself." You guys are in LA. How are you finding that?
Oh, man, it's great. The writer's strike, the actor's strike, it's really been, it's been great for podcasting because now everyone is just like being like, "Hey, let's all start a podcast, like famous actors and stuff."
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't have enough platforms. You don't have enough audience in your life. You need to take this away from us too. This is not a medium for famous people, okay? This is a medium for sad people.
Do you listen to any podcasts with famous people? That just seems like a thing that someone financing podcasts somewhere thinks that people do, but I don't know anyone in real life who's like, "Oh, I need to hear."
Right.
An actor starting a podcast is a bit like that thing where Mark Wahlberg said if he was on the planes, 9/11 wouldn't have gone down the way it
yeah,
did.
Exactly.
Where it's like you're playing smart people.
If I were to start a podcast, it would be me, a bunch of beautiful ladies, and we would just do push-ups on the podcast, and we would all just hold each other's dicks and be like, "Wow, this is a lot of fun talking about." Am I allowed to say dicks?
You are. You're welcome to say dicks as many times as you like.
Right. On my podcast, we say dicks and never bleep it. That's my best Boston accent. And for
he was just describing our podcast that we do together.
Yeah,
that's what
but
we do.
That's what podcasts are.
Well, except for the girls there part. Mostly just push-ups.
You see that with action stars all the time. Why all these action stars go right wing? Because they're playing these like really violent macho men, and you're like, no, you're a dancey fairy boy. That's your
yeah,
job.
Right. No, you're a theater kid. Stop. Yeah.
No,
exactly.
A good enough actor will convince themselves that they are the characters that they play eventually, and it's the way it goes.
I feel like podcasts are the Twitter sort of situation where you don't follow people because they're famous. You follow people because they have interesting ideas, and therefore podcasting is not the area for famous people.
Yeah, you follow them because they got nothing to lose.
Yeah. You can watch someone burn down their own career and not even know they're doing it. Just like a frog slowly boiling in water. Yeah.
Just watch people slowly become unemployable.
Right, exactly. It's fun.
It's nice. Undeniable audio clips. The satirical cartoon for this week, a couple of studio executives gathered around a laptop. Executive one says, and then Terminator says, you've made the world a better place, Skynet. And executive two says, told you we don't need writers. Now it's time for your top stories. Top story this week, worm revival news. This is the news that scientists have just awakened a 46,000-year-old roundworm from Siberian permafrost.
I was just resting my eyes.
Just resting on this. Vince Mancini, you've taken a long nap. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, yeah. There was a worm, and he was sleeping, and some dickhead scientists came in, and they were like, you know, let's wake him up. And I don't know. Seems wrong to me. Just let him. He was having a good nap.
Nah, I'm for it. Listen, if you're going to awaken Shai Hulud 40 million years later, I'm glad you're doing it now at the peak of our planet and our society. Like, we're going to be a dune world anyways. You might as well have a nice sandworm in it.
I mean, I feel like as humans, you think, oh, 40,000 years in the future, everything's going to change. But if you're a roundworm, you probably woke up and was like, yeah, this is the same. This is what I remember. Yeah.
I mean, this is the grittiest reboot of Encino Man, except in this instance, the worm is a lady where the moment she woke up, apparently she started having babies in a laboratory dish.
Oh, which, that's right.
Isn't a troubling precursor to any kind of apocalypse that I can think of.
Well, I like that it's a traditional worm who understands traditional gender roles and was just like, my role here is to make a bunch of little worms that will end up in my dog's butt somehow.
For 40,000 years, all I've been listening to is the tick-tock of my biological clock, and finally, I'm awake, and I can give birth.
Hell yeah. I wonder what other horrors they're going to wake up in the permafrost. Like, every time, you know, it's like a 110-degree day in Los Angeles, I'm just like, something cool is melting right now.
Something is thawing out.
Yeah. And it's not going to be like an N64 or something like that. It's going to be
something that crawls up your pee hole.
Yeah, right. And makes you grow wings. Who knows?
We will find out, though, as the permafrost increasingly melts and uncovers all of the secrets and shame of the past.
Very excited for it. Could be anything.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. You already have a nice smile, but is it sexy? Sex up your mouth with dental floss, the G-string for your teeth. Everyone loves fish, but don't you wish they were more useful? Now they are, with Starfish. Decorate a Christmas tree, use it to navigate, throw it at your enemies, eat it probably, I don't know. Starfish, 5 points, all winner, maybe dinner. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the study that found 67% of men and 25% of women would rather inflict a painful electrical shock on themselves than be alone with their thoughts for 15 minutes. Depressing science about internet usage or depressing science about men? You decide. And sure, soup is a conspiracy to put teeth out of work, but you can't decide if you're hungry or thirsty right now, and you don't have time to do both. Try a bowl of soup, brought to you by half a glass of water. With stuff in it. And that's your ad section for today.
And now I want soup.
Yeah, that's how capitalism gets you.
So that's how ads work. Someone just talks about soup and I'm like, I could use a soup. I would like a soup.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Multi-directional folly now. This is the news that the OceanGate co-founder, one of the founders of the company that recently and fatally sent a submarine deep underwater to implode, is planning to send 1,000 people to a floating colony on Venus. Matt Lieb, you like to look at the stars and dream. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah. So I assume that this is the surviving one. The co-founder who did not
that seems
suddenly
like a safe assumption.
I mean, yeah, probably. He did not implode looking for the Titanic. No, I think it's great. I think it's great. You know.
Sorry, just to pause. You are the best detective in like a crime novel. You walk in and we go, at least we know it's not that guy, the dead guy.
No, you know, I like to
just
I like
poking
to
his pinky in something and tasting it.
Yeah. That it was an alive guy who did that. No, it's you know, they think outside the box, and they're trying to help the world by sending people to places in which they will surely die. And
I like that he just thought, like, you know, well, my partner's just imploded at the bottom of the sea in another one of our ventures, but the press is paying attention to me now, so I'm pretty sure, like, this is my moment. This is going to be the time when I sell another big idea.
I won't make the same mistake again. We're not doing the ocean no more. Now we're going to Venus. Because you know what? Only men died on that Titanic submarine. And we need some women who are from Venus to die there.
Yeah, women are from Venus. Let's go to where the pussy is. This is the problem with letting billionaires talk to each other, because his defense against the accusation that this is a crazy claim is that it is less crazy or less aspirational, as he puts it, than putting 1 million people on the Martian surface by 2050, which is a thing that only Elon Musk has said is possible.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because his context is only talking to another insane person. And he's like, this was moderate. This was a moderate idea.
Well, they have people for all the small things. It frees them. They have all their household daily tasks taken care of, all the mundane things. They don't have to think about it anymore. It's just other people's problem. And so frees them up to think about like the big ideas, you know, like Mars.
Like
and,
floating Mars place for money. Yeah.
But I mean, specifically, Musk is quite famous for promising things that he absolutely will not deliver in the time frame that he has suggested for them. So I don't this
you'd think
well,
that
I mean, like there was a time where you might believe some of the things, like, oh, maybe he could do that, but like now that he's proved that he is not capable of changing the sign on his own building successfully, I don't think he's like the person to trust with a Mars colony.
Yeah, or like, you know, put a chip in my brain so I can, you know, use X without using my hands. Shit like that is not boding well in terms of the confidence level for the intellect of these guys. But at the same time, why are they rich and I'm not?
It's true.
Ever think
about
that?
Why? Much cleverer.
They must be a little bit more smarter. if they're rich and I'm not. So
Well, it seems like one of the things he's motivated by is the idea that Venus is Earth's twin. But if it is Earth's twin, that is definitely Earth's evil twin. In that it's basically surrounded by clouds of sulfuric acid, which doesn't seem like the right place to live. And he sort of agrees on the basis that, like, it will raise eyebrows outside the space industry. And then he goes on to admit it would also raise eyebrows inside the space industry. But he doesn't mention that it's easier to raise eyebrows inside the space industry because there's no gravity to keep your eyebrows down. So everyone in space looks constantly surprised. Also, you don't have to wear a bra.
You're
selling me on it now.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language.
I never wanted to go to space before. But.
Yeah, I want to go to the topless Venus colony. You know, we're all being a little tube together looking out a tiny window at gas.
The brief period before we all melt, it'll be pretty hot. Period
before I watch every titty melt.
It's Earth's twin. It's exactly like Earth. Everything's the same except for the supporting life part. That part is the only difference.
Small difference, you know?
Yeah.
But it's an important difference nonetheless. I don't know. I feel like the amount of dangerous places to go on Earth is, I don't know, numerous enough that why can't he just...
Yeah, like ocean, for example.
Well, no, he's like, okay, I get it, ocean bad, but have we tried center of the Earth?
Yeah. We try to go down. What if we try go up?
Yeah, go up more far, right? Like, go to stratosphere. Because it's like, at this point, you know, we're not even at the point where space tourism is really that much of a thing at all. And he's like... 10 steps ahead is like, let's go to the sun.
This is what I say. This is what happens when they all talk to each other. They all just think about the possibilities that their money can build. And it's like that meme of, like, men will do X number of completely deranged things instead of going to therapy. These people will go to X number of inhospitable environments instead of trying to render the Earth's surface hospitable for any length of time. They're like, we're all headed into...
I like that William Shatner took one of those space tourism tours and he came back, quote, profoundly depressed. Yeah. Like that was his big takeaway. Like, I'm sad now.
Yeah, he came back because he was like, space is desolate and cold and there's nothing there. And it's just an endless landscape of vacuum.
There's no aliens trying to bang me at all.
Yeah, there's not one f***able alien in all of space. And he's just like, why am I here?
We have all this lack of gravity and not one boob to enjoy its effects.
Nothing jiggles in space, you know?
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Vince Mancini, what have you brought in for us this week?
I'm reviewing cold cereal for dessert, which I give... 5 stars. I think the cereal industry, it did us a great disservice my entire childhood trying to convince us that this was a breakfast food, because cold cereal is a terrible breakfast. Like, you want something hot and salty and savory with, like, some cheese and some potatoes. It's like, you know, you get a pass for breakfast. I don't want sugary stuff. But after dinner, that's when you want something cold and sweet and full of milk. It's like the perfect dessert food. And all these years, they've been selling it to us for the wrong thing, I think.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
So 5 stars. Excellent.
5 stars.
It's a bold move out of the gate.
Yeah, no, it is a delicious thing. I literally have a bowl of cereal every night.
And there's a thing that I know about Matt, which is that... when he eats his cereal, first of all, he uses non-fat milk, the milk that's like kind of blue.
Milk.
And he puts the milk in the bowl first.
Yes,
and
I do.
And he puts the bowl in the freezer so that it gets a little bit like icy, like some ice crystals.
Yeah,
and then he pours
the
cereal in. I've seen it do it. And then he eats it like a little raccoon.
Yeah, I eat it in a corner somewhere. Well, yeah. I turn off all the lights too.
I pour the milk in the bowl. I put the cereal in the bucket. I lower the bowl of milk into the bucket of cereal.
Or else it gets the hose again. Precious. I have your cinnamon toast crunch.
Matt, what have you brought in for us this week?
I'm reviewing a product called Baby Headphones. Baby headphones are a thing that we bought for our baby because we went on our first plane trip with the baby, 9-month-old baby, and I was like, okay, you know, planes are loud, and I want baby to be able to sleep. So we bought a pair of baby headphones. These are not music headphones. They don't play anything. It's kind of like when you go to the gun range. Or for your British audience,
when you take a baby to the gun range,
as we do,
yeah. I know British people don't have gun ranges, knife ranges, whatever you guys have, it's wherever it's to like cover
they
your
just
ears,
try to throw so, it and stick it in the target,
yeah, yeah. The noise comes from people going, yeah, we did it, yay. Oh, I'm just kidding. Do British people mind me doing an impression of British people? I'm sorry. Oh, David Beckham fish and chips. That's what they sound like to me, but I know that we sound weird too. So anyways, it like is supposed to lower the volume of the surrounding world. It's made for babies, baby size head and everything, you know, small little headphones. Babies will not just sit idly by with big things on their ears just pressing. So every time we put the headphones on, she just rips them right off, and we're on this plane and just hoping that she's going to get like 10 minutes of sleep. And we just keep putting the headphones on, and they're so also very heavy things. So when she takes them off, it snaps and hits her in the face and she starts crying more. And honestly,
five
I know
stars?
You can. Yeah, 5 stars because it was hilarious. No, 1 star because this is a product that shouldn't exist. This is a product that was made because someone said, oh, I have an idea. Let's make one of these, but for babies. And then never bothered to look to see if this has worked for anybody. So, 1 star for baby headphones. They don't work and they hurt my baby. And, you know. I mean, maybe if I take her to the gun range at some point, we will use them. But for now.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about being a parent is just discovering that like half of the products that people have made for babies, they did not think through for more than 5 seconds. And they just were like, well, I have your money now. And that was the
point of
that.
Yeah, this is a captive, sleep-deprived audience that have lost all judgment.
100%, 100%. Most of the purchases that we make for this baby are in the middle of the night desperately seeking a solution for crying. And so they know that.
May I recommend for plane time, nap time, as somebody who's been traveling with my now 21-month-old since she was 4.5 months old, the combination of the carrier, her facing you, and then just the ruthless hand over one ear and the other ear pressed into a warm chest.
Yeah.
In terms of maintaining that, way better than baby headphones. I mean, your
arm sounds way smarter
than
what Matt did.
But you can do
no, but I want to
like
buy
that.
A product for solution. I don't. I know product has solution for most problem. So I will continue typing baby and then blank for whatever issue there is. Baby, antidepressant medication.
There's been at least 4 times where I've gotten like a medication from the pharmacy, like one of those liquid medications for a baby in like a 4-inch bottle. And then they'll give you a syringe that's about 2 inches long. And to pull the medication out from, and I'm like, someone could have at least like eyeballed this. Like, it didn't have to be an exact measurement, but you think you could get like closer than half.
Yeah, I feel like almost like they know you're sleep deprived, so they're f-ing with you too. You know, they're just like, this will be hilarious when they're trying to feed their baby this like sleepy time medication and they can't reach it. So
and
they
have to pour
like
it into a little saucer and then use the syringe to take it out with. That's
well,
fun.
You have to go to Amazon and buy something called baby saucer. It's like a regular saucer, but it for baby. And then you have to wait for that to show up and it's a nightmare.
I'm going to review 2 things. I normally don't review anything at all, but I'm first of all going to review with a question mark Vince Mancini's choice of a flamingo shirt for this podcast. For those of you who are watching this on YouTube, was this a deliberate choice to aggress me, or is it just something that you like?
No, I'm in summer shirt mode. We decided this about 2 weeks ago. I'm doing with all summer themed shirts with patterns and summer themes. Because, you know, it's hot out. Might as well enjoy ourselves while we sweat to death.
Yeah. So it's not because I'm on the record as saying that using flamingos as decor as a lazy millennials attempt at whimsicality, and that flamingos as a bird are deeply overrated.
Yeah, they are stinky.
Yeah.
Stinky?
They're just long-nosed, smug, swamp-dwelling, krill-eating, baby-stealing monsters.
Mm-hmm. And they, yeah, well, but they stand on one leg. That's why people like them.
And they're pink. That's the main reason. It's because they're pink.
That's true.
You from afar, you're like, they're fierce. That's why we like them. Like, yes, bitch. Like, that's, you look at them and you know they're fabulous. That's why, and you're telling me they
they're
stink?
Dressed to krill, you know?
I love you.
And the other thing that I'm going to review is leaving this Airbnb, which has alternately locked me out, let robbers in, and does an occasional alarm that just we can't turn off and happens for no reason until the people upstairs decide to turn it off.
Yeah, not during the robbery. The alarm is saved for after the robbery to just annoy you so you'll never sleep.
And the review is, I I'm sending private messages to the person who owns the Airbnb agreeing to be in a Mexican standoff about leaving a review. I'm like, we won't leave a review if you don't leave a review because we're mutually assured destruction here. because some of the messages I sent at 2 a.m. while locked away from my baby were pretty rage-filled.
I can imagine.
You were locked away from the baby.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, the baby was inside?
The baby was inside. I was coming back from the gig. I may have briefly tried to tear an iron security door out of a concrete framework with my bare hands.
They're like, look, we have anti-theft devices. They're supposed to alert you when theft is going on, but we never said that they would be timed to the theft. Like, they were just going to go off at some point to alert people that a theft has happened or is about to happen.
Yeah, they're essentially one of those precogs in a pool who's like, something terrible is going to happen at some point.
Yeah. I like the compromise here. I won't write a bad review if you don't write a bad review. Because it's like it's a mutual agreement to not snitch on each other, which is, I'm personally a fan of.
So I've got the review all keyed up. It's in my back pocket. My fingers quivering on the trigger. We're back to back. We're walking away.
Yeah,
if I hear a gun getting cocked,
you're pulling the trigger on that one.
Have you showed the review? Like, this is what I would post if you don't make me happy.
Not yet. We've reached a tentative truce.
Okay.
So far, in that I've said, I understand this is stressful for you too.
Damn.
Wow. That's like call center training right there. I understand difficult it can be to not have your internet working.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And also, like, is it stressful for them? Isn't the most stress they're having is you texting, hey, I got robbed, or hey, my
baby's
inside.
Hey, we've landed in an active construction site from Japan with a tired baby, that kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're not stressed at all. They're like, we already got your money. We're relaxed over here.
Just laying back, watching Righteous Gemstones and just like getting texts from you going, Jesus, figure it out, lady.
Milk thief news now. Matt, you have the sticky fingers of somebody who's been dipping into the cheese section. Can you unpack this story for us?
A British Columbia real estate agent has been fined $20,000 after being caught on camera drinking milk straight out of the jug at a home he was showing. Yeah, which, by the way, I wholeheartedly agree with this, and I'm actually considering suing my 9-month-old daughter for the same crime. Before she came along, those were my milky jugs.
It's funny because... you really don't have to do anything as a real estate agent. Like, you just sort of show up to somebody else's house.
Yeah, not drink the milk is like
to sell
easy.
It to someone else who wants to buy the house. Yeah, just don't drink the milk. I think maybe he just was just like, well, this is my house now. I'm selling
it. Yeah. You stay in a house long enough trying to sell it, you're like, I own this place, huh?
It's like the actors where they get convinced that it's their house that they're selling after too long in the real estate industry.
Well, he claims that his behavior was out of character and that he was, quote, unusually dehydrated at the time because of a new medication. as well as being under, quote, considerable stress, which is, I assume, just the milk jug staring at him from the other side of the refrigerator, just being like, aren't you thirsty?
Well, I didn't need to know that this man's on Ozempic.
Yeah, right.
Needs to be fined another $50,000 for what he then immediately did in the bathroom.
Yeah, you don't want to know what happened. Yeah, milk came out both sides. All right.
So yeah, I still haven't read about Ozempic. Is that the deal that it just makes you poop out all your food? Is that how that works?
Among other side effects, one of the side effects is extremely diarrhea. But I think what it's meant to do is mean that food doesn't look good to you anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
So it works on both ends.
On both ends it works, exactly.
Less input, more output.
Yeah. It's amazing that there is like a fine for that. Like usually I assume that like, you know, first of all, if someone drinks a milk, we had a house sitter recently and I noticed a little bit of the milk kind of down, couple of inches. And I didn't know I could take legal action for that. And it's nice to know that like in Canada, they're like, you know, we don't have a lot of crime, but we have a lot of milk crimes that happen.
It's all politeness-based crime. And,
right, exactly.
It's rigidly enforced.
What I want in a milk jug is, you know, those irritating motivational water bottles that are like, you're doing it, chug, chug, chug.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like just a milk jug with every like inch down the jug, it's like $20,000, $40,000.
Yeah, $40,000. Man, dude, I just ate $80,000 worth of milk. It's great. And I say eight because, as you know, I like to freeze
you
my
put
milk
it in the freezer, yeah.
Wait till it's crystals and solid. Yeah.
I mean, now I think if you were the house sitter, like previously I would have thought like this would be more polite to clean my glass of milk and put it back in the cupboard after I've drank. But now it's like I'm going to leave my dirty glass in the sink just so they can see that I used glass and I didn't drink straight from the carton.
Yeah, I wonder if the fine would have been less if he had used a glass, but I think like a good portion of that fine was like right out of the jug, you freaking monster.
No, I think it would have been no harm, no foul if there was a glass, right? Like, okay, we can spare a glass of milk. We're not monsters.
Which is crazy. I mean, you know, those are... Canada seems like actually kind of a wonderful place. Like those are the laws that should exist, you know?
Now it's time for your eyeball scanning news section. We have two eyeball scanning stories or face scanning or horrifying scanning stories. WorldCoin, the cryptocurrency that wants to scan your eyeballs, just taking us one step closer to the ultimate end goal, which is where you whisper your deepest secrets into your computer and it lets you send an email. Vince, you've got a lot of secrets. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know how the guy who smashed his partner up in the bottom of the ocean? Well, now the guys that did a really bad job of having an alternative to the banking system, they want you to let them scan your eyeballs. Like they can't keep people from just taking all of the money from a lot of these crypto things, so they're like, what if we could scan your eyeballs instead?
It's pretty great. Like the whole idea around it is that bots are getting increasingly more advanced and that it's difficult to tell whether or not, you know, anything that exists on the internet came from a bot or from a human. And which is true. I mean, like up until now, the only way to tell if an account is a bot or not is if they disagree with your opinion on politics. But, you know. Because you're always right. That's how it works. But this company is proposing a digital proof of personhood by scanning your eye, which, I mean, if there's one thing I trust, it's crypto to figure out the world's problems, you know? Like,
well, I mean, let's be very clear. This WorldCoin is being suggested by Sam Altman, who's the head of OpenAI. So what we can trust is for crypto to first create and then solve the world's problem. It's like McDonald's owned Ozempic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's really great. I mean, I think that it's a really great solution, you know. It's like they're resolving this issue by having humans like willingly give their biometric data to a Silicon Valley Adderall fiend who feeds it into like a malevolent supercomputer in exchange for an ape drawing. And I think that that is probably the best possible solution to figuring out whether or not someone is real or not, is if they do this. Like, I feel like only a bot would actually choose to do this. And so, you know, it kind of has the opposite effect, but that's just my two cents on it.
It feels like in the tech industry, in the, particularly in the startup world, in the crypto world, like 70 to 90% of the job of selling any product is being able to sell the product. And yet they are terrible at naming this shit. The proof of personhood is created by this iris scanning device, which is called the Orb.
Give your eye to the Orb. The Orb will say whether or not you are real. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, also it feels sort of like an imbalance of power to get a robot to verify whether you're human or not.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit to be like, well, what do you know? You're a goddamn robot. And also, now you have my eye data. Doesn't that mean you can be like, now I am you? Ha 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 ha. Just seems like a bad idea to give it to a bad supercomputer, you know?
It also feels like, you know, banks were working pretty well, and then these guys were like, what if no banks? And you're like, okay, but then people just steal my money all the time. And then they can say, okay, but what if a robot scanned your eyeball? Then would you feel comfortable putting your money with us?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, now I feel assuaged.
Yeah, I needed more of my data getting out there. Don't just take my money, take my eyes. Thanks.
Yeah.
The worst part about this is that, like, I kind of understand intellectually the idea of, like, I would like to know the difference between, like, an AI bot and a human. And it is hard to tell. And I feel like there's probably
smell
a way,
them.
But they, yeah, first of all, just smell them. And if they smell like a flamingo, you know, it is not a human. But no, the weird thing about this is, according to the article, digital ID platform WorldCoin aims to provide its users with a verified digital identity plus a cryptocurrency token and a crypto wallet app. The fact that they're adding all of this security data onto the blockchain is so funny, because it's just like, yeah, it's like the most secure technology in the world next to the Word document called mypasswords.doc.
You know also, what I mean? It's like the idea is that you think you would be less likely to be scammed by a real person as opposed to an AI. Like, oh, I mean, as long as I'm giving this money to a person on the blockchain who has never scammed another person.
Right.
unlike AI, who are malevolent for some reason.
Yes.
I resent being asked by a robot to prove that I'm not a robot. Like, if I'm halfway through trying to log into something and it says, prove you're not a robot, and then I have to go off and, like, love deeply, suffer incredibly, live a full and passionate life. Mm-hmm. And by then,
like,
you know,
no one's watching.
The login page is timed out. You can't get into your Amazon cart.
The worst thing is, like, CAPTCHAs have gotten to the point where, like, they get really complicated. And have you ever, like, been, like, confronted with a really hard CAPTCHA where it's like, what are the numbers here? And all you see is lines and you're like, am I a computer?
Or the security questions that are, like, really, like, qualitative, emotion-based. Like, what shirt were you wearing when you had your first kiss? And you're like, I don't, what? Can I just tell you where I was born?
And an even better scanning news story. This is scanning children's faces news. This is the news that the Entertainment Software Rating Board wants to scan children's faces to make sure they're not just clicking I'm over 18 in order to get into all the sexy games. Matt Lieb, you've played a sexy game. I assume you've played Leisure Suit Larry. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, yeah. I played a game called Virtual Valerie once. It was, you could choose how you had sex. It was great. Anyways, the Entertainment Software Ratings Board, which is the MPAA for video games, and they're the people who, like, put, like, those E ratings or T ratings or M ratings, you know. T is for teen, E is for everyone, M is for mature. They're prepared to enforce who plays what games by literally scanning players' faces to determine via software how old they are. And, you know, so they keep M for mature for just adults. You know, that way if you're a kid playing a game, you know, you won't, you know, you won't be able to play Call of Duty because that's too much violence, I guess. Yeah, so the proposed system would ask the user to take a photo of their face and check for a live human presence, then submit the photo for, quote, estimation of age, which is like, great, finally a way to stop video game companies from exploiting our children by sending pictures of them to some sort of pedophile robot who will look and see if your lips are too full to be an adult.
No, I just want to collect millions of pictures of children's faces. No, nothing, yeah. Sus.
Give me children. I require children's face.
We're not
going to
do anything with this.
Face.
Our entire industry is not built on digitizing a human form, so we will be the best curators of this information. Also, the current facial recognition software, half the time it doesn't work for like people of non-white races because they didn't test it on enough people outside of their own office. I'm sure it's going to work really well for like figuring out what age people are.
Well, cops can't seem to do it.
Like I've yet to use a filter on like either like Instagram or TikTok that does the like guess your age thing that I didn't think was secretly programmed to do a bit just burning me. You know, like every time I do it, it's like 58 and I'm like, you just do you know any Jews, computer? Do you know how Jews age? You age like avocados, okay? I was young once, but I'm not that old, okay? 38.
I was perfect and creamy yesterday.
Yeah, I was perfect and creamy yesterday, and now I'm brown and sagging, and my pit just falls out. You don't even have to scoop it out.
You're in the sweet spot. You're just a man. You're not an old man. You're not a young man. You're just a man.
I'm just a man. I'm just a man who wants to play Animal Crossing, and now the computer says I'm too old to do it. Well, you. Pedophile robot. Does it work backwards? That's the real question. You know, are you too old for Pokemon? You know, will it tell you like you got to get out of here, weirdo? Because that I kind of agree with.
Like you log into TikTok.
I'm kind of for that. Listen, as a parent, I would love to keep all bad things away from my child, and I would love to do that without ever putting forth any effort on my part. So scan their faces. I say, take a little finger prick, you know, a little blood, take some of the blood of my children and, you know,
piss
help
the
keep them safe.
Levels of innocent in your urine.
Look, I want the algorithm to raise my children, but I want it to be a good algorithm.
Yes. And,
if you scan my kid's face and tell me you're good. Okay.
When the algorithm is problematic, that's always the worst. I'm like, yikes, algorithm that controls our daily lives and thoughts and dreams.
I think that's really nice that you want that for your daughter. I just want for my children what I want, what I think everyone wants really secretly, which is that I want to do so well in life that in 25 years' time they get dogpiled on the internet for being a Nepo baby.
Oh, God. Knockwood. That's, I think, we all want that. Yeah. If I could make my daughter's life hell in a few years by being just so successful that people resent her because of it.
Yeah, I want to be successful enough that their success will be considered mine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want her to have a complex about not being able to live up to all of the pee pee poo poo jokes that I tell on the microphone. I'll never do pee-pee poo-poo like my dad. I'm not you. I don't want your life. I want one of those moments, you know? Varsity Blues. It was a big movie in America.
I've not heard of it.
Okay, so James Vanderbeek, right? He's like, he played Dawson.
And now it's time for the end of the show. We're flipping through the ads at the back. Matt Leib, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, I do. First and foremost, Vince and I do a podcast called Pod Yourself a Gun, which is both a Sopranos rewatch podcast and now it is a The Wire rewatch podcast. You were on it recently. And it was a lot of fun. Your episode is one of my favorite episodes that we've done.
Thank you. I was so tempted to subscribe at the $8 level on your Patreon just before the episode that I was on, in the hope that then you would have to read my name at the end of the episode and make it like questionable as to whether I was brought on my own merits or if I bribed my way on somehow. But then I just didn't credit you with the organizational ability to line those up if I didn't.
No, you would have been my
joke would arrive like
I would have been weeks later, and I would have been like, oh, it would have been funny. But yeah, so listen to that. And then also, me and my wife, comedian Francesca Fiorentini, are going to be headlining at the Punchline in San Francisco on Tuesday, October 17th. So you can get your tickets at punchlinesanfrancisco.com or just Google the Punchline San Francisco. Do whatever way you get to it, get your tickets. Tuesday, October 17th, 8 p.m. Myself and Francesca Fiorentini, who is much more successful than I am, but I'm a man, so.
But her success is your success now because you guys are married.
That's right.
One flesh, one billing credit.
That's right.
Vince, have you got anything to plug?
I mean, most of my plugs are also Matt's plugs. We do the podcast together, which you can find at patreon.com/frotcast. But I also have a newsletter now called The Content Report, where I write about, movies and TV and internet stuff. And that's at vincemancini.substack.com.
I highly recommend supporting both of those things. You guys are great podcasters, and you're a great writer, Matt. And also, Vince, I'm going to subscribe to this Content Report. I am doing my show Twist at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival at 8:30 at the Underbelly Bristow Square. I'll also be doing two live gargles, the 15th and the 22nd of August. So if you are in Edinburgh, drop by and see that. Otherwise, you can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, as well as my weekly writers meetings and salons and book clubs. I do lots of stuff over there, patreon.com/AliceFraser. I've also got a book. I've got a book coming out at unbound.com. Go to unbound.com and write in Alice Fraser to get to the page and buy a copy of the Dancy Lagarde Reader. I say go to unbound.com and type in Alice Fraser because I guarantee you will not spell Dancy Lagarde correctly the first time. I didn't, and I made it up. So, please buy my book. Big thanks to our roving reporters who've sent in stories that they think we would like this week. PK, Miss Otis, and Robert Silito, who sent in the Worm Revival story. PK also sent in the Venus story. And Robin Shant sent in the Milk Swigging story, as well as a few people on my Patreon. And Robert sent in both stories in the eyeball scanning section. So big week for Robert Silito this week, or I assume a slow week at work. If you'd like to be a gargle roving reporter, tweet us at, X us at Hello Garglers on X, where we remain, because a sinking ship in a vast ocean is still vaguely floating. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.